Hello and welcome to the Fishing Guide Podcast. I'm your host, Brad Weekman, and this week I have two very special guests. They are fishing guides on Sam Rayburn, also known as the Big Sammy. Is that correct? Ross and Brian?
Brian and Corbett.
That's right.
Corbett, Brian.
I didn't mess their names up. Keep it fired up. Brian Branham.
Brian Branham, Corbett Ross. Yes, we've been guiding here a long time. And we're a partnership, fishing partnership guides.
There you go.
Work together. Yes.
Yep. So you guys guide for, what do you guide for?
Bass and crappie.
Bass and crappie. Yep.
Primarily bass, but we do some crappie trips.
Yep. And so start, Brian, long-time bass angler on Sammy.
Yeah, I've been fishing here since the mid-80s. I was looking on my wall earlier. I have a plaque from 86 or 87 in a championship tournament here. So that's gives my age away.
That does.
But I've been guiding here really hard for about 15 years.
Yeah. And so, and how long have you been guiding here?
About 8 years.
About 8 years.
I've fished here all my life, but guided here about 8 years.
So bass and crappie. Is one of you more crappie than bass, or there we go.
I'm bass only the most part. I'll help Corbett out, and we're starting to lean more into some crappie fishing, but I mainly fish for crappie in the spring when they're over the grass before they go deep.
And we're actually filming this, so we are kind of in the spring season right now, but this actually, if you want to start booking trips, this is a good time to start looking at those July dates and stuff that could be open, you know, for
June,
you guys.
July, yeah.
Yep. So, Corbett, you're the crappie master, I guess we could say, of this bunch. And tell us, how are you going about catching them, say, within the next, 2 months, 3 months? What if you took someone out, how would they be fishing for crappie?
Typically, you know, once it warms up, we'll be fishing over deep brush piles.
Uh-huh.
18 to 35-foot brush piles, just dropping minnows over the side of the boat, fishing vertically, straight up and down in brush piles.
What length rods are you using?
Usually 6.5-foot rods. I'm fishing with monofilament line and just minnow fishing, drowning minnows.
Right. How do they know how deep they're going to put their bait? Because sometimes that's really confusing. For someone that doesn't fish a whole lot, how are they getting that depth right?
Well, you know, typically I'll get on the edge of the pile and I'll show them how to drop all the way to the bottom and until they see some slack in their line,
uh-huh.
and then make a few cranks up and pick that slack up.
I gotcha. And your fishing brush piles that you guys made, or these just fit? I know there's a lot of brush piles on Sam Rayburn.
Yeah, some that we've made and some uh-huh. that are just, you know, brush that's there
right.
that we've found.
And besides just, and I know we'll come back to guiding for bass and crappie, you guys do electronic trips. Brian, I know you are just over the top when it comes to Garmin.
You know, I'm an engineer by education. It's kind of a natural progression that when I quit that life and started guiding that I would end up in the more technical end of things. And I've worked for somewhere in the neighborhood of 15 years for electronics companies. I work with Garmin now.
Uh-huh.
And we both use full-blown LiveScope in our boats.
Right.
I also use full Garmin setup for full Garmin units. And Corbett is really in tune with Humminbird, but he also uses a Garmin LiveScope on his boat.
Right.
And you were talking about the crappie earlier and bass in general and most game fishes. I mean, when you're looking at depth, mainly you let the fish tell you, but you get a pretty good start with looking at them straight up with a Garmin LiveScope. I mean, you can just literally see the concentrations of fish and how deep they are. So it gives you a good starting point.
Garmin LiveScope. What's What's three key ways of setting up your Garmin LiveScope? If you could tell someone, these are the three things I do guarantee to be able to see better, what would they be?
Well, you know, you need to be familiar with the instructions. But on Garmin's website, in the manual for an LVS 32, which is the transducer for any Garmin LiveScope, they're all the same. Right. You've got a TLS 10 box, and you have the transducer. No matter what display you have those things. Well, if you go to Garmin, to Garmin.com, and you look up the manual for a Garmin LVS 32, you'll find some pictures. And the pictures will show you the orientation of the transducer. It's very simple if you just go and look. And then once you've got a good feel for your installation and you're sure that you've done everything right and you get on the water, there's really only three settings that matter for a long period of time when you first get one, and that's the forward range, the depth range, and the gain. And gain is a strange term to some people, but it's sort of like volume on a radio or, you know, a television. It's just power. You know, it's amount of power you're putting out. The deeper you are, the higher gain. The shallower you are, the lower gain is good rule of thumb. And then the farther your forward range is, the more gain is required, but you don't want to have high gain in shallow water. Right. So really, you know, it can be complicated, but it's only three variables: depth, gain, and forward range.
Okay.
And in the newest software update on all Garmin LiveScope units, you have those things on the screen. On any touch screen, you have a plus and a minus for each of those three things. And the most important thing of all is to spend time on the water and get used to these things and see what they do and play with them a little bit, and it will just kind of become obvious what is doing what, and you'll get a really good feel for it.
So you also, Corbett, so you also, you have a hummingbird on the front of your deck. So while Brian is pure Garmin, you mixed it up a little bit, and you have a hummingbird graph on that.
That is correct. I'm using the hummingbird for mapping. And I'm using the LiveScope there to look at the piles, look at the fish.
Yeah, and they're like Twinkies, I like to think, because they both have Phoenix boats. So I think it'd be awesome if you guys just switch boats one day. And you just went out fishing and you switch boats just to see what would happen.
You know, we've both been in each other's boats, and part of the advantage of having a partnership is we do have two boats. The majority of the spring, we're both booked, but if we're not, we have two boats to use.
Right.
And I'm comfortable enough with his electronics to use them, and he's comfortable enough with mine to use mine. So it's doubtful that we'll be down at any one time. We'll have.
I was just thinking that it would be so strange because you'd be like reaching down and you'd find out that he has that lure, you know, that he borrowed from you a couple months ago, and he hasn't returned it.
Yeah, I'd fix that real quick.
That could happen.
Like a Pop R,
you never
P70 original.
We fish a couple of turns. We fish Fishers of Men tournaments.
Oh, yeah?
It's a fun time where we can do something together where we're not working, because we're always working. We're together. So we're fishing these Fishers of Men tournaments, and we might be in his or my boat. So we're familiar with each other's boats,
Yeah, and these are up-to-date new boats, basically, that they're Phoenix boats, right?
Yep. Both 21-footers. I have a 20 model, and he's got a 21 model he just took.
Yeah. So you're going in something that's, you're not driving like 30-year-old tires your mama's boat or something like that having something like that on it. Good quality.
Brand new, state-of-the-art equipment.
Do you supply tackle for them? If they showed up, what do you have?
If they're wearing what I'm wearing right now and show up, they can go fishing. I mean, I have two extra Gore-Tex suits in my boat, 12 or 15 rigged rods, ice down water and cold drinks, all the safety equipment, fully insured, ready to go. I mean,
and,
And some people bring their own stuff. It's there's yeah. It runs the gamut. You know, some people come with all their own. You know, they've been fishing a long time. They're prepared for the weather. They've got rigged rods. They call ahead of time, want to know what we're doing. And,
right.
And that's a different deal altogether. Sometimes we get a family. They're on vacation here. They decide to take a guide trip while they're here, contact one of the marinas that we work for.
Right.
And, or with. And they really only got to have the clothes on their back to go fishing if we're available.
I gotcha.
It seems to be here lately. Most of my customers are coming without tackle.
Oh, without tackle.
It seems to be my experience. I don't know about Brian, but here, most recent, you know, I'm supplying all the tackle for the customer.
And life jackets.
You bet.
Yep. Everything but food and drink.
Mm-hmm. Well, right. Drinks we supply. I never leave the bank without approximately 20 ice down bottles of water.
All right.
And I use, I'm not trying to plug, but I mean, Falcon provides rods.
Okay.
Lose good, reels.
Good quality
and
rods.
And it's really nice new stuff. Uh-huh. And all of the electronics and the Phoenix boat. And
it kind of sounds like you just plugged Phoenix. Our Falcon rods.
He runs a Mercury.
All right.
So, and they're both new four strokes. But my point is, like you said, we use new, nice stuff. I mean, we use right. fluorocarbon fishing line, tungsten weights. I mean, we don't skimp and throw, you know, cheap stuff. It's an expensive thing to do nowadays in some people's right. way of thinking, and we try to provide a premium service. And there may be a better match for some people, maybe, okay? We're not the most expensive guides on this lake, 100% for sure, but we're not the cheapest either.
Right.
And we work very hard at what we do, and this is what I do full time.
Yeah. So and you talked about marinas. Which marinas are you going out of?
Brian and I are doing all the guide work out of Powell Park.
Okay. And where's that located at?
It's located, you know, Rayburn is basically a V.
Okay.
And it's kind of at the split of the lake on all the right. inside V.
Any certain town?
We work out of Tackle Addict also. Okay. And yep. We meet customers quite often, really wherever people want to meet, but in the parking lot near the Valero Tackle Addict store, anywhere in the area by the dam.
So if they showed up without tackle and they wanted to buy some tackle, because you tell them like they're biting on topwater or they're biting on something, is there some tackle stores here in town? And sure. Can they buy a license from that tackle store?
They can buy a license from the Valero gas station right there just okay. by producing their driver's license from okay. any state. It's very quick, very easy.
All right.
They sell both out of state, in state, 1 day through 7 day. Ann's Tackle Shop off 96 in Jasper and Tackle Addict off 255 here and Powell Park Marina, if they happen to be in that area, all sell tackle that we use.
Biggest fish that a client's ever caught? You first, Brian.
It's kind of a strange question. It was one of my clients with, I needed help from Corbett. So it was my client, but Corbett's boat, 11 pounds, 5 ounces.
Oh, wow.
My largest client fish is in the 9 pound range here wow. at this lake.
You just had someone catch a big fish,
yeah,
did you not?
8 pound 13 ouncer this Tuesday. That's up there, you know.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen every day. This last October, I had really nice brothers, 70 and 73 years old.
Right.
It was the 70-year-old's 70th birthday.
Wow.
Purchased by his brother. October 1st and 2nd, they both caught over 8 pound bass at pretty much straight up noon.
Wow!
One on his
awesome.
Birthday. Yeah, it's those are very rewarding days.
And Corbett, how about you? Client's biggest fish and biggest crappie caught? Because you know we got to slip that in there too.
Well, you know, just like Brian was saying, I had his customer in my boat, and that's been, I believe, 2 years ago in February, caught an 11.5.
Wow.
That particular customer had never caught a bass over 6 pounds. He caught an 11.5 that day. The following day, he caught an 8.5.
Wow.
him. So yeah, he's awesome. So he's definitely been coming back every year since.
Yeah, he's going with Corbett now.
Yeah, yeah.
But
how about
fine.
Crappie? Yeah. How about what's probably the biggest crappie? Over 2 pounds, right?
Yeah, over 2 pounds. We catch, you know, several each year in the 2-2.25 pound range.
Right.
No giants like they catch in Mississippi and other places, but we do have some 2-2.25 pound crappie here.
What's the length limit and also the possession? What's
on crappie? It's 10 inches, 25 per person per day.
Okay. Right. And catch and release, obviously, for the bass.
Yes, we do. Yeah. We have a huge population of Kentucky bass here. That's a spotted bass. And although they're trophy fish in some areas of the lake, we have a subspecies of those fish here. They don't grow over 2 pounds. I think there's more of those than there are any other fish in this lake. We do keep those. And the bag limit is 5 per day any length. So if someone wants to keep a few bass for the table, they actually taste better than any fish that I like. I like them really a lot. And that might get to some people, but they would just have to know the type of fishery it is. They're almost a nuisance here. We have so many, and they compete for forage with largemouth crappie and other game species.
I got you.
And they are a smaller version of spotted bass.
So bass fishing coming up, let's just say for the next 3 months, kind of skip a couple weeks because I have
some fish are in full spawn right now.
Skip the spawn part and go to what they might expect a little later on, get more a little bit more towards summer, because this will air about a month from now.
We'll
so,
be in the shad spawn at that
shad
time.
Spawn.
And that is a huge event here.
What are you catching them with on during the shad spawn?
What would you like to catch them on?
Oh, see.
You know what I mean?
I like that.
It's pretty crazy. It's only become, I guess a lot of experienced fishermen have known about the shad spawn for a long time. But I can say with 30 years on this lake, that the common knowledge involved in the shad spawn is a relatively new phenomenon in the last 4 or 5 years. And it's a brief period of time where the bass are feeding on shad at daylight for an hour or two. And, you know, catching 50 in a couple hours is not uncommon. I'd say a square lip crankbait, a swim jig. There's several baits that are good. Those are my two favorite.
Yep. Do you have a favorite for catching them during that time?
You know, I agree with Brian on the swim jig and the square lip crankbait, maybe an Alabama rig.
Yeah, if you don't feel uncomfortable having 10 hooks flying in the boat and in a frenzy of fish, Alabama rigs definitely.
I would think like a guide would say, you know, I got this perfect topwater. I'd like you to throw.
Yeah, you know, I try to stay away from treble hooks. I've probably had a barb, pass the barb hook up 50 times in my hands. But, you know, we throw what we have to throw. Last year, a square lip crankbait was really a number one producer for some reason. And
like a shad pattern one?
Yeah. We were using the Echo from like a Rattle Trap.
Like a sexy shad type pattern? Or
yes, or
chrome blue.
Chrome blue.
Chrome blue.
Yeah, I ordered a dozen from the Bill Lewis guys who I work close with.
Yep.
And most days I let people keep their primary bait in the boat.
Wow.
And that's a help. Bill Lewis helps with that.
Right.
We have.
So if I go with you 5 times, I could get 5 lures.
Yeah. Yeah, it'd be some.
Would I get lures, if I go 4 days? Would I get the 5th lure free?
I'm about to talk about your scissors if you don't watch it.
Here we go.
I'm just kidding.
No, that's great because that's going to take us right over to tackle time. Okay. And so tackle time is actually about the Regal River fillet gloves. Now, there's actually two, but I actually was cleaning a walleye, and I did not bring both pairs. But they actually are cut resistant.
Yeah.
And so you can basically put that on.
You need those.
And then,
I do
yeah, like for crappie fishing.
Well,
and this is,
Corbett cleans our fish. I don't know much fish cleaning.
So basically, if you have this on your hand, and this is
don't
a really
that.
Sharp knife.
Don't do that.
It will.
Wow.
So, but you can't. What you can't do is you can't
I got you.
Like straight on, yes, like point onto it because it'll cut through it that way. But otherwise, it's like four times stronger than just using the other gloves that they have out there. So that is a really cool thing. And
that one's gone.
Brian would like to add his scissors. So show us our scissors.
All right.
He's over there playing with it.
I'm really
remember,
big.
Kids.
I'm big on scissors.
I mean, run with scissors in your hand.
These scissors, he showed them to me earlier, and I mean, I haven't used these scissors, but I can tell that these are good scissors for braid,
Mr. Crappie,
or anything else. I'll bet you could cut braid with very end of those. That's a very nice pair of scissors. I have large hands. And they feel good, and they're yellow, so I won't lose them in the boat. Terrible about losing scissors. And I said, Brad, can I have these? And he said, okay, I guess so. So I get to have these scissors.
Look at that. It's the first time I've ever given something away during tackle time.
He stole a lure for me.
See, look at that. It doesn't cut through that,
that's
which is
amazing.
Good because
he
just trying to slice your,
these things are sharp.
Slice through it.
Nothing. Now, Brett stole a prototype lure from me once, so I was kind of giving a hard time.
So you can keep it. So anyway, Smith Products, that's one of our sponsors. They make both the glove and the Mr. Crappie scissors that he has there. We also have to thank Pico Lures. They've been making lures forever and ever, and they're one of our sponsors. Has a full line of products, and you can check them out at picolures.com. And that takes us back to
they
you guys.
Bradhead. They make the Bradhead.
That's right. And that takes us back to you guys because we need to know how they can get in touch with you. So tell them how they can get in touch with you if they want some guide trips.
Well, I've got BrianBranhamFishing.com. That's the easiest way. Phone number's right across the top. You can search my name, Brian, B-R-I-A-N, Branham, B-R-A-N-U-M. A lot of returns from that. I've been here a long time.
Okay. And?
And you can look me up on Facebook at Corbett Ross on Facebook, and all my contact information is on there.
Yep, R-O-S-S.
R-O-S-S.
There you go. There you have it. The two hottest and now most equipment supply guides on Sam Rayburn since they're leaving with my glove and my scissors. Mm-hmm. I appreciate you guys being on
the
show.
Thank you, Brad.
Hey, make sure you guys keep your hooks sharp and your lures in the water.